T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hal, first and foremost, I thought that the VAR review and the call on the Perisic handball was a little bit ticky-tack. I didn't think that they needed to call that, especially in a World Cup final. Did you think that was the right call, or was that a little bit overboard?
I tended to think it was the right call. I mean, when I watched the first replay, I reached for my phone and I sent a text to a friend saying penalty kick. And even after seeing it a couple more times, I thought his hand was in a place that was just an unnatural position, that dreaded phrase. And so it almost seemed like he was making himself a little bit bigger than he needed to be.
Gotcha.
And so when you do that, you know, as a defender, you run the risk of at least letting the referee have the discretion. And, you know, you never want to put yourself in that sort of position. And that's what happened. So I agree, but, you know, at the same time, one of the things, there are a lot of things I liked about this World Cup, but one of the things I really liked is, for the most part, we didn't spend nearly as much time arguing about bad calls as we normally do. And that was pretty refreshing, I thought.
Yeah, seriously. Very much so. And Hal, what do you think about the World Cup winners, France? Now, I thought that that was a team that looked just a little bit lackluster in the group stage, but they really seemed to peak and get stronger as the cup went on. And then the talent from, you know, Mbappe and Griezmann and Pogba and company just became too much for the opposition.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't think that this was a team that really just blew you away. You know, it's funny because most of the time, after I've seen everybody play, say, once, maybe twice tops, I usually put my finger on, you know, one team and say, that's a team to watch. And most of the time, it's a team that goes pretty far, if not wins the whole thing. And this time it was so balanced that, you know, I'm sure if you were French, you were probably thinking they were going to win the whole time. But most people were probably, you know, I think that it was probably scattered all over the place because it wasn't like any one team ran away. I mean, there were times that Belgium looked, you know, very, very strong and, you know, they kept coming back. And Croatia, you know, was a team that nobody could really put away for the longest time. England, you know, there's so many things going on. And so, yeah, I thought France, in the end, that was the best team. I'm not going to claim by any stretch of the imagination that it's the best World Cup championship team.
Right.
I don't know if anybody would say that. But it was the best team for this tournament. And, you know, guys like Mbappe, man, what a talent that guy is. And Pogba showing his versatility in that role that they put him in. There are so many things going on. Griezmann is a great talent. So, you know, give a lot of credit to Deschamps for putting all that talent together and getting them to where they needed to be. And so, you know, that's a team that obviously will be a contender next go-round as well.
Right. And speaking of next go-around, 2022 in Qatar, which is, I mean, Qatar, we all know they don't really deserve a World Cup. They got it because of FIFA corruption. And it's so hot there. They're moving it to November and December. But at least, Hal, 2022, they're expanding to the 48 teams. So I can't imagine the USA is gonna fail to qualify when they add 16 teams to the mix. Do you think fans can say, hey, maybe the United States can bounce back and actually make some noise in that cup?
Well, you know, there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. You know, getting the managerial situation straightened out and then from there, the developmental programs. There's so much that needs to be done. You wonder what direction the whole U.S. Federation is going in, if there is any direction. you know, we can be thankful that Pulisic is on our side.
Yes.
That's a great talent. But, I mean, Alex, look at, for example, the goalkeeping situation. I mean, even in the infancy when we started to qualify for World Cups, the one thing you could always count on is that the U.S. would be two or three deep in goalkeeping simply because of that whole hand-eye coordination thing that the Americans always had going for them. And now, I mean, who's the U.S. goalkeeper?
I have no clue. I have no idea.
Well, I guess it's Guzan, but, man, he didn't impress me at all.
No.
And you know, it's there's some – we're light years away right now. And whoever does take that job has a lot of work ahead of them. But, you know, as far as the 48-team thing goes, it's almost like don't get me started because I think that the field was fine at the size that it has been. I don't think it should have been expanded. I think it's going to lend itself to an awful lot of boring first-round matches.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that, actually.
Yeah, and a lot of teams that really shouldn't be in there. And what happens when a team that shouldn't be in the World Cup gets in the World Cup? They park the bus, you know? They put 10 guys on defense, maybe 11, maybe 12. and that, nobody needs to see that. So, I mean, it was fine the way it was this year. And to think that 12 teams worse than whatever the worst team was this go around is going to be added to the mix.
Well, I mean, I don't know how they're going to redraw like the qualifying stages. I think that's important, hoping that they don't just, let's add only more Middle Eastern teams and teams from the South Pacific and the Caribbean. Like I do hope they open it up to more European teams, Hal, because I'm a fan of Italy and they had a pretty dreadful team, but they were still better than five or six of the teams from various regions who qualified for the Cup. I'm sure the case was the same for the Netherlands and maybe even for the United States. So I'm hoping that expanding the field, you are going to get not only really crappy teams, but some teams that maybe if they didn't have to come out of Europe could have a chance to qualify that are more deserving than some of these, you know, third world country teams.
That's true. Although it does take a little bit of the edge off the qualifying.
Yeah, that's true.
You won't get quite the drama that we had this time around when teams were sweating it out and watching scoreboards the last round of qualifying. You know, all of that going on. I mean, the U.S. was certainly one of those teams watching the scoreboard. So there's a lot going on there, and you know, you also have the added complication of the hell it's going to be for the European leagues when all of a sudden November rolls around 4 years from now, and it's like, okay, we got to pack up. We're all going to the World Cup, and then you know, late December, January comes, and they got to start up again, and it's almost going to feel like a whole new season. It's going to be really weird.
It's funny that was my first thought. I know that you and I both root for European clubs, but I also got a lot of feedback on social media with people saying, "Well, Dono, let's also not forget that just for American viewers, that's right in the middle of NFL, college football going on, and bowl games for part of that, NHL, NBA. It's like every major American sport outside of baseball is going on at that time. So it's going to be hard to fight for American viewers as well."
It will be, and, you know, they can just be thankful that hopefully the U.S. team will be participating because otherwise that would be an issue. I mean, just think about it from a Fox perspective. If their lineup is constant to what it is now, I mean, they're going to be going right from the World Series to the NFL and NFL overlapping with the World Cup. There's going to be an awful lot going on for that network, and we'll see how they do. I think overall their coverage was good, but, you know, personal taste, and I know I'm not alone. I like the NBC crew better than the Fox crew as a whole.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I miss not having guys like Martin Tyler and Ian Dark to listen to because I think those are two of the very best at what they do.
We're joined here by Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post. And, yeah, Hal, we're 10 days away from training camp for the Miami Dolphins. How secure, Hal, do you feel that because people always ask me about this, the brain trust, Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Greer, Adam Gase, what has to happen this coming season for all of them to stay off the hot seat?
Well, I think Gase is going to be safe almost, you can't say no matter what, but pretty close, because Philbin gave, Steve Russ gave Philbin a pretty long leash, and I think most people see a lot more potential in Adam Gase, infinitely more potential in Adam Gase than they did at Philbin at this point. So I think he's okay. I don't see anybody picking on him as far as his security. Tannenbaum is the one who's really on the hot seat because, you know, he's the one who made a lot of moves and, you know, are they going to pan out? He gave contracts to some guys, didn't give contracts to others, and you all know who they are. And, you know, it's a matter of did he make the right moves or not? And, you know, we'll see how Landry does in Cleveland and whether that was the right thing to do. The Sue contract, you know, I said from the start that that was money that they really didn't have to spend, and they put an awful lot in a position that doesn't tend to decide games the way other positions that, you know, deserve that kind of money. I would say that out of the three, I think Tannenbaum is the one who is most on the hot seat, really.
And, you know, you mentioned Jarvis Landry, and obviously you've lost a guy who accounted for 112 catches last year, over 100 catches routinely. Now, on paper, I think it's very possible that you could make up his volume by committee. I'm just wondering, how optimistic should Dolphin fans be about that committee when you include some of the newcomers like Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola? I'm very uncertain as to just how much Mike Gesicki can add as a rookie at tight end, but fans have through-the-roof optimism on this guy. You know, Kenny Stills, will he get more catches this year? Does Devontae Parker show up? How much faith should Dolphin fans have that you can make up for Landry's production with a committee of receivers and tight ends?
Well, as a whole, I would say that I like their receiving core, but it is going to be a challenge, and it's going to be a question on everybody's mind all year, like it or not. Gesicki is, as you said, he's a huge part of that. He's a talent that they have lacked for a long time, and if he can open things up, it's going to help the guys on the outside tremendously. But the wild card in this, I'm sorry to say, is Devontae Parker. Can the guy stay healthy, and can he produce at the level that people think he ought to be producing? You know, it hasn't happened yet. It could happen now, but he's such an important part of where this receiving core is going. I think we all know what they have in Kenny Stills, and I'm confident that he'll be Kenny Stills. And so that's why a lot does fall on Parker's lap. Amendola is a guy who has produced for years, getting up there in age, yeah, but I think we all know what he can do. Albert Wilson is a guy who's coming up, and we'll see what his ceiling is. And then there's also Jakeem Grant, and yes. What can he offer from scrimmage?
Yeah, with Jakeem Grant, Hal, I think he could be one of the biggest X factors on this offense, because if he can contribute the way I think athletically he's capable of, that guy adds another gear and another dimension to this offense.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I like the fact that even at his size, he's got, you know, some muscle behind him. He's not just a tiny, fast guy. He's fairly strong for his size, and that's going to help him in the long run, no doubt. And he won't be the first receiver who took a little bit of time to develop and then became a real threat. I think, you know, when you look at some of the speed they have on the outside, and he's certainly a big part of it, as is Stills, that's something that secondaries are going to have to respect.
Well, I know that as I am, you're looking forward to training camp coming up, and maybe we're not looking forward to our summers essentially coming to an end, Hal, but I can't wait to see you out there.
Yeah, the summer coming to an end is the sad part, but, you know, we all had a lot of fun, those of us who follow soccer.
Sure.
It's been a great month. In depression that it's over, but we do have American football to look forward to.
Well, and also, Hal, let's not forget we got some big friendlies coming up, like International Champions Cup. A couple days ago, I was watching the web feed of Inter Milan's first preseason game. So there is soccer out there to be found.
There is, and a little bit of something for everybody. So, it'll be good to be out there again and see what this team can do and whether they can be correct in saying that they're going to be able to surprise people and be better than what Vegas thinks they're going to be.
I sure hope so. Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post covers the Miami Dolphins. Follow him on Twitter at Gunnar Hal and check out his work, Palm Beach Post and palmbeachpost.com. Hal, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week coming up.
Take care, Alex.
Great stuff as always here from Hal. And I'm glad that that he kind of brought up things to watch, things to look forward to. With the World Cup done,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.